Hello, welcome to the Old Man Orange Podcast. I'm Spencer Scott Holmes.
And I'm Ryan Zuniga.
Today, we're getting super Ninja Turtle-ified. We got, you know, we got the big Shredder's Revenge that just came out. You know, just that classic beat-em-up style game, kind of hearkening back to the days of, like, Hyperstone Heist and, you know, Ninja Turtles 4 and all that good stuff like that. And this is one of those games that took like 2 years to sort of come out. Like one of those ones, like for the most part, when you hear about these games, like, okay, cool, 6 months later, here it is, and so on like that. But this one took its like sweet time, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it's just like, oh yeah, by the way, it's coming out in like 2 weeks. Like, I thought it was coming out in like December this whole time, and then they're like, there it is. And it's made by the Scott Pilgrim team, which, you know, Scott Pilgrim did pretty much the best beat-em-up game ever made, in my personal opinion.
Yeah, well, I remember this is one of those games I heard about, like you said, like a while back, and I just assumed... I assumed it was already out whenever I went looking for it. Like, oh, is that new Ninja Turtles thing out yet? I'm like, oh, it's not. Okay, whatever. And then just like maybe 2 weeks ago, like, it's coming. Like, oh, finally. All right, cool. So then I haven't beat it yet because I'm planning on doing an episode of it for Octorok Talk. But I've just been kind of pacing myself out because it isn't real. So far, it hasn't really been that hard. I mean, granted, I have it on medium difficulty. But so it's kind of like I don't want to just blast through it and then like forget it by the time the show comes up, so I've just been kind of doing more slowly. But I gotta say, it's as far as turtle games go, it's probably my favorite one.
Yeah, no, that game is super dialed in. It kind of delivers on like all like the great, like, hey, we're gonna pull a lot of characters from the show. I mean, everything's mostly based off like the 80s kind of cartoon. Like, that's totally what they're going for. It's, you know, it's not the comic book, you know, it's not any of the other stuff. It's just straight up like classic turtles, like made for, in a sense, the 80s 90s kid. And yeah, it's totally badass. Gameplay's awesome. It's got a bunch of levels. It actually has more levels than I thought was going to be in there, you know, because even still nowadays, you mostly, it's like, you know, oh, it's a beat 'em up game. Well, you're still probably going to beat it in like a couple hours. You know, this one, yeah, I don't know, maybe it took me about 3 hours to beat it or something like that. I can't remember, but it had a decent amount of levels.
How many levels would you say roughly?
I think there were 16. I think 16.
Okay, cool. So I'm on like level 8. So it's okay. I got plenty more to play then. I got plenty more for it to get harder. Yeah, I've just been kind of like, I've just been being that loner. Like, does anybody want to be my friend and do co-op? Because these are the kind of games that are like most fun on co-op. And plus, being a Turtles game, it feels so weird being just one of them and walking around, you know? So, I mean, plus it's also cool because you're not only playing as the Turtles, you could also play as like, you could also play as Splinter and April. And I've just been using Leo.
And Casey Jones.
I assume you unlock him after you beat the game, right?
Yeah, you get him then. I thought he was going to be there right from the beginning because they kind of like, I'm like, they announced him so many times. So I'm like, oh, okay, he's going to be there. It's like, well, don't announce him if you're going to make him a secret character, you morons. Like, sometimes I just don't think people that do advertising have any idea what they're doing.
They're probably going to have this kind of games now. There's up here to like, 90s stuff is dead. What's the point? What's the point of brawlers? And then people our age, give me that shit, you know. And I think that now they're just kind of like, let's go all in. And I feel like they're probably going to try and not give this like a ridiculously long life, but I could see them probably possibly making expansions and more DLC for this game down the line, just for how I've heard nothing but good things about it. And it's weird because Turtles for me, it was probably the first thing I was really into before Mario Brothers. It was kind of like Big Turtles is the first thing I was really into. Then I got a little older and I kind of fell off. Not that I disliked it, I just didn't keep up with the cartoon. But I don't mind checking out the comics now and the movies. But the show, I'm not sure if that would hold up for me. But this game, though,
the
is just
show,
the right
it depends on the episodes. But this is what I always tell people, watch the very first season. The first season is amazing. It's only 6 episodes long. It plays out literally just like a long movie. And it goes through the first arc of the original comic books, in a sense. You know, it does just a little bit minor changes, but for the most part, it's like literally the first graphic novel of the original series. That's what the first like run is. And that one's so good. Like, everything about it gives you all the nostalgic feels. It's a great story, great pacing, and so on. The only kind of downfall of Turtles is by, I think it's like seasons 2, 3, and almost 4, there's a period where it just kind of repeats, like, Turtles battle Shredder! Turtles battle Shredder again! Turtles battle Shredder again. You're like, dude, is anything going to happen? Where are all the other characters coming? They don't really come to like the later seasons, you know? So there's kind of like, if you try to go like, I'm going to watch all Ninja Turtles in a row, you might get burnt out like really quickly after you kind of see how 2 and 3 you know, sort of are. And I almost want to say 4 is like that too, where like in a sense nothing really happens for a good long while. It's just that old school like 80s style cartoon where it's just like, we got a villain, like they can fight him over and over. Oh well, there's Krang for a moment, but Shredder's always in it, always.
Well, it seems like they're doing that whole thing about like trying to like, we got to introduce a new character this week so we can make a toy off that character. Because I remember the Turtles toys, they're kind of that thing of like, all right, well, here is the here's like Detective Donatello, here's Samurai like Leonardo, and after a while, it became kind of harder just to find basic versions of the characters. It was the hardest thing just to find. Can I just get regular Michelangelo or regular Leonardo? Can I just get? Is that possible? Do they always have to be on vacation or dressed like a farmer or dressed like they're going to school or some shit? And then like, and then there'd be a million figures of characters that are only in for one or two episodes. And I'll be honest, I don't remember the show that well. I remember I was obsessed with it as a kid, and then if I see old episodes, like, oh, I remember this one. But most of my love for Turtles comes now from the games, the movies, and then the occasional comic we pick up. We pick up, and this one right here. Before I guess we talk about before going to the comic, we talk about Shredder's Revenge a little bit more. Who's your main in that so far?
Well, the first round I did, because me and Laura played through the entire thing, and I played as April O'Neil, and she played as Raphael, which is so it's like, okay, you want to be April? Well, then I'm being April then. If you're going to play as April, I'm playing as Splinter, because, you know, I just was like, I know what the Turtles, in a sense, have played like. I've played as the Turtles many a times, but I've always wanted to play as April O'Neil. I've always wanted to play as Splinter, especially even Casey Jones, you know. Because I think that's almost one of the things that makes this game really neat, is the fact that you can play as kind of the other hero characters in it, and, you know, April plays really awesome. She plays like Chun-Li. That's the best way to sort of say it.
The only thing about the about playing it is it's cool because as you play it, the characters level up, but then it doesn't give you as much of a reason to go back and play as this character, that character. You're like, well, this character's already leveled up, and I have to start from scratch with everybody else. So that's kind of the only thing with that. So kind of for that reason, like, why'd I pick Leonardo? I play Leonardo all the time. I should have picked somebody else. But it would have been funny if it was just kind of like, April O'Neil was like, I got to do this shit myself. Just goes out there solo handling it.
Solo. No turtles there and whatnot like that. You know what I mean? I mean, it's one of those ones, like, I love the level up system, though, because that kind of gives you more reason, like, to play it over and over again. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, once you pick a character, of course, yeah, you're dedicated to it through that playthrough of the story. But I feel like as it goes farther along, you want to kind of go back into it. I mean, it's the same thing as a Scott Pilgrim game, because, like, when Scott Pilgrim came out, like, played the living daylights out of that game, and I played a lot of it single player as well too, just because there was so much like leveling up and secrets to get and so on like that too. And I mean, the Scott Pilgrim game, you know, comparison to the Ninja Turtles one was like way tougher too. Like, you had to really put your like time into leveling up, you know, and getting all the extra bonuses and strength and all that stuff, where the Ninja Turtles one's kind of like you level up, but it's almost like one of those ones, it's like light kind of leveling up. You get some health points here, you get a couple extra moves here, you get more specials there, but beyond that, it's almost kind of like you might not notice it. Like, I tried the arcade mode for a moment just to see what was sort of like different there, because I was like, are you not going to get any of those like bonuses you sort of got in there? And it kind of gives you like the light version of all those bonuses.
Okay. Well, I remember you spoke on Scott Pilgrim for a second. I remember getting the limited run, the physical limited run copy of Scott Pilgrim. It was like first time playing the game like in 5 years almost. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, maybe I just suck at it, which is very well a possibility. But this game is a lot harder with one person. Like, it's one of those things like, wow, I really took for granted having two other people or one, at least one other person there to play it through with, because one person, it's so easy to get your like fucking shit kicked in. Where this one, it's also where I'm going to say Turtles so far. I mean, yeah, it's I haven't really faced a lot of challenges yet. There are times where I came close to dying, but so far, maybe it's also the difficulty I have, but the thing about a lot of the old beat-em-up games, the ones we love that were made for the arcade, is nostalgic because they really aren't entirely the best-made games, and the reason for that is you're made to lose, so you got to put in more quarters. So after a while, it just comes pop in quarters and just keep doing the same thing, and it's still fun. It just gives you that nostalgia, and there is some skill that goes into it, of course, but after a while, you're made to lose. Where this is a game made strictly for the consoles, so it has, all right, we got to be fair about this. So, yeah. And I appreciate, and I feel like at the right time, I always come across a pizza. At the right time, all right, fuck, they got a pizza, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I will say Turtles games have generally always been, at least the arcade ones, you know, like Turtles in Time and whatnot, those ones have always been pretty dialed in as far as the beat-em-up games go. Because there is those arcade games where, like, you literally get to a certain level and you're like, oh, yeah, this is that point you're on. You're, like, one level away from the end, and they're like, no, 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 we're going to get them for all the quarters they got in their pockets right now. You know, some of those Neo Geo games are like that, too, where it just becomes, like, the, you know, the wall of death, where there's just, like, bullets galore and everything like that. You're like, yeah, okay, you know what? Metal Slug 3 and 4, I see what you guys are doing here. Like, you just want me to see the end, and yeah, that's what's going to happen, you know. But you know, the Turtles ones, like, they always kind of played pretty fair, all in all. You know what I mean? Like, that's one of those kind of games that you can kind of get into, and it's not just like you just get your ass beat. Like, by the time you get to, like, level 3 or 4, or it's like, you know, like some of the other ones where the next thing you know, you're like, you know what? I'm just going to be Captain Republican. I'm just going to put a bunch of quarters in. I'm just going to keep hitting the special button because I don't care. Even if my health goes down, whatever. You know what I mean? I'm playing as Colossus and X-Men, and I'm just going to, like, you know, special my way through here.
Yeah, well, there's, like, you know, I remember... You could probably make it for the first two or three levels without really dying, but at some point the game just like, all right, kid, other people need to give us their fucking money. So, all right, here's Bebop and Rocksteady at the same time, you know?
Yeah, exactly. You know,
or the spiky thing and the werewolf thing from the second movie.
What I do like about, like, this new Turtles game, though, is how many it just does get a lot of the villains in there throughout the Turtle series. Just, like, each level's got somebody going on, you know, a bunch of classic stuff in there, real cool, nostalgic-type stuff. But, like, that one where, like, hey, here's a bunch of characters that have never been in any of the video games for the most part. We're going to throw them in there, too, which is kind of neat.
Yeah, yeah. And, yeah, I'm really digging this game, and I'm looking forward to talk about it in detail when we get to Octorok Talk, but... I bought the game day one, and by the time this comes out, just a bunch of shit just comes out all at once. It's Turtles, and then tomorrow it's Sonic Origins, and then Capcom Fighting Collection. So just like, all right, yeah, time to pay an arm and a leg for my childhood again. Here we go.
And ironically, the Turtles game's actually cheaper than I would have thought, because we're almost getting to that point where I'm like, okay, is the going rate for like a... you know, a 2D straight digital game going to be $40 nowadays? Because that's like almost what it's like seeming like.
It's and got Turtles music like, with Michael Jackson in it.
Turtles is only $22. Oh, okay, cool. That's awesome. I didn't expect that. You know what I mean? Like, I was really expecting to pay like $40 for this Turtles game. And I was like, when I saw it, I was like, $22? Not even $30? Whoa. Like, that's almost kind of ballsy. You know what I mean? Like, you know, even the Shantae games have even got to the point where they're always like $30. It's just like, you want Shantae, right? She's worth more money than anybody else you know. Let's be honest. Yeah, you're going to fucking pay it.
Despite the shirt and the glass, I really am not surprised if Sega goes in and just says, yeah, fans, you want original Sonic? Fuck you. You're going to pay for it regardless. We know you. We don't got to go. Yeah. What's special about this version? You get to check out the 3D dioramas of the islands, and also you get some cutscenes. Well, shouldn't that be in the base game? It should, but we know you're going to pay for it. So, yeah, where's your parents' credit card? Or actually, let's be honest, where's all your credit cards? You're all
yeah. This day and age, no kids are like, ew, Sonic. It's old and 2D.
The only Sonic game is Sonic Unleashed and Sonic Colors.
Yeah, exactly. But it's kind of weird because Sega hasn't been like that for like, it felt like Sega just got fucking balls since like, they haven't been like that since like 1995, because Sega's mostly always been like, you know what, put Sonic on every platform, he could be $3, I don't care, he's going to go out there, he's going to get back that $500 million we need to get back in the bank, or, you know, $500 billion, like, it's okay, put some Crazy Taxi out there, put some Fantasy Star Collections on, you know, the iPhone and, you know, mobile units, like, we're going to get our money back somehow. We're going to play the long, short, small game. Oh, you know what, here's a pack of Sega games, it's only $30, but we're giving you 52 of them, okay? And then all of a sudden, it's like Sonic the Hedgehog 2, the movie does good, and it's just like, well, I guess that we can start milking this pony now. So you don't milk the pony. Well, we're going to milk the pony. I'll believe you. Sake of America is going to milk the shit out of that pony.
Good news, boys. We're moving out of the motorhome.
Yeah. Because, that's like one of those ones, like, realistically, it felt like 5 years ago, this Sonic Origins collection would have been a $20 game at maximum, if that even. You know what I mean? But I think, I know it is that has something to do with whoever the hell has Michael Jackson's rights just fucking things up, because Michael never messed anything up. Michael was always good. He loved video games. Michael dies, somebody else gets it. That's it.
Well, what was I going to say? I think Sonic Forces was like $40 or $35.
Yeah, it wasn't even a $60 game.
Which, when I first saw that, because I remember I was sick that day at work, and then I was just like, well, I might as well play Sonic Forces, and just downloaded it. I was like, do me wrong, I'm glad I don't have to pay $60, but $40 day one, that's a sign.
Well, that's the thing. Like, even if your game might not be like, let's just say, a $60 game or something like that, I feel like you want to make it $60 because it just says, hey, it's worth something. Because they did the same thing with the Sonic All-Star Racing, was only $40 too. And granted, like, that's a full-fledged game. I mean, it's literally, you know, just as much content, if not more, than Mario Kart or Crash Bandicoot or any of the other like kart races out there. So I don't know if Sega thought that they were going to do the undercut game or whatnot there, but like, the only downfall is I think somebody sees that and goes, oh, it's a $40 game, not a $60 game. There must be something wrong with it. You know what I mean? That'd be the only fear of like that when you're doing a major game, not like a digital download.
Well, I still bought it and still hope for the best, you know, simply is what it is. And that's not a god awful game, but it's not really a good game either. But going back as far as like, I guess, retro style to new style, it is kind of weird that we're at this point where everything 360 is back around eventually, and how like no get rid of all this 2D shit. Your kids want the 3D now. I'm like, actually the 2D shit looks a lot better now, and they fine tuned it. And not only that, I feel like I'm getting more bang for my buck of this one $24 game as opposed to most like $40 games out there.
Yeah, I mean, it all just depends on kind of what it is and so on like that, but. That Turtles one, though, it is, like, it delivers on all fronts. Because it's one of those ones where, like, that game could almost been hyped up so much that, like, by the time it comes out, you're like, oh, okay, it's fun, it's okay.
You got a Ghostface Killer song on that. That's, like, one of those things, like, at the time, like, in the 90s, like, Ghostface did a song for the Turtles? What the fuck? Are you kidding me? He's up there with Vanilla Ice. But now it's like, dude, the Turtles! Oh, Ghostface Killer! Awesome!
Yeah, I also love how, like, in the credits, it's like, Ghostface Killer, and then it's, like, in parentheses, of Wu-Tang Clan. Oh! But it's cool, because it's got literally all, like, the original Turtles are in there, Rob Paulsen and the whole crew and so on. It doesn't have, like, the original, like, April O'Neil or anything like that, but you can't have everything in life, I guess.
No, I can't have it all, but I'll take what they gave us, and they gave us enough.
Yeah, but it really is. It's like one of those ones. If you want the ultimate blast from the past for any 80s, 90s kid, that game is it. That game is totally it right there. You know what I mean? The only thing you need is an adult, though. You're like, you just sit around and go, oh, don't have any friends to call on over to play with. Well, God, this is sort of sad. It almost feels like something's wrong in life. Like, that's always like the first thing you kind of think about with that. You're like, oh, you know, because in the old days you'd be like, oh man, I gotta get the whole gang on over, we're gonna fucking blast out some fucking Ninja Turtles tonight, it's gonna be amazing, then we're gonna throw on the VHS's and it'd be so killer. And then now you're like, I guess I'll just sit here and level up Casey Jones by myself, don't mind me.
Oh, and I beat them all by myself. Now it's just time to sit here and wait to die.
Well, I better go back right now. I missed a couple of the collectibles.
Oh, I found a disgusting bug behind a trash can. Yay for me. I have no proof of this, and we'll get on to the main topic in a second. I have no proof of this, but I'm assuming all the weird little random collectible things you find throughout the game, uh-huh. I'm guessing those are probably little... I have no idea. I haven't looked it up. It's just a guess. I'm guessing those are little like collectibles or things that came with action figures, I would bet. Because I want to say at some point you see like just nods and references to all things Turtle Mania from the late 80s or early 90s, including like the Foot Car. Wasn't the Foot Car? Like you see a billboard for it. Wasn't that one of the – that was in the show. But that was a toy.
Mm-hmm. Well, because so many of those toys aren't even related to the show. It's like the toy companies started running faster than the TV show was going, which was going faster than the comic book was going. And like, yeah, just one of those ones. Everybody was kind of making their own shit at some point.
Now, keep in mind, I really like Ninja Turtles. It's not my favorite thing. I am looking forward. I'll say this, playing this game and reading this comic has put me in a bit of a Turtles mood. And I am looking forward to the new movie coming out. And even though I don't know if it's directed by, I know it's at least produced by Seth Rogen. But it's all going to be animated. So that's cool. And
that's cool.
Yeah.
Because worked out really well with Turtles 4.
Yeah. And I don't really know what they're going to do with it. I really just hope don't make Shredder the villain, at least for the first two movies. At least wait for the third or the fourth movie, if there is a fourth movie. Don't jump in with Shredder as the villain. Just give him time to breathe. Make us want Shredder, you know? The Foot Clan could be there. Karai could be there. Whoever. Just hold off on Shredder. What was I going to say about that? There's something I was going to fucking say about that before I derailed myself. regardless. Yeah. I just am looking forward to more game. I mean, I could see them coming out with more for this particular game just because it's doing very well. It's got to be simple to come up with DLC for it. So.
Yeah, I mean, who knows what they will? I mean, because they kind of like this game sort of gave you a lot of stuff. Like they could have done the thing where they charged you for Casey Jones for like $5. Like they could have done that, and they didn't do that. And I'm actually kind of giving them credit there because even Scott Pilgrim did that because they charged you for knives and Wallace or whatever.
I remember what I was going to say now. As somebody who really likes Ninja Turtles and was obsessed with it back when it was in its heyday, I saw a documentary a little bit ago that was entirely somebody that just took like ads, and there's like very little narration. They just took ads and like news stories, like, so the kids are all into this thing called the Ninja Turtles. Now, that kind of like 6 o'clock news type shit. And it was basically
the guy reading it's like, really? Really? Yeah. He's got that look on his face the whole time. Huh.
Now, when you hear weird. When you hear Leonardo, Donatello, Michelangelo, and Raphael, you may think of Renaissance arts, but kids think of something totally radical instead. You know, that kind of shit. Anyway, it was between that and hardly any narration. It was very interesting. It was right on YouTube for free. It was just news stories, commercials, and recorded interviews with the creators and anybody else involved in it. And I'll be honest, I understand why parents fucking hated it because it was everywhere more than I remember. I'm like, yeah, I had that. I didn't have that one, but I did have that. And then watching like, Jesus, they did run this thing into the ground for a while. It kind of needed 10 years to cool off for people to get nostalgic and want it back.
Yeah, well, it's the same. It's literally just like Pokemon. That's like the same thing. Is they hit it so hard for about 3 years or so, maybe even slightly less. And it kind of sometimes burns it out. Ninja Turtles, I felt like, lasted a little bit longer because, you know, felt like Ninja Turtles was still big all the way till the very end of its, you know, the original show's run, like in like 96 or 7. Like, it felt like you still just saw Turtles galore. I mean, probably not as big and so on. And then there's that like slight 3 or 2 year period before like the new show, the 2000 show came out, which is technically really the best show of them all. I remember when I was a kid, I was like, not my Ninja Turtles. Let me tell you what, I'm 11 or 12 years old and I got some attitude against this like newfangled, like, look they got going and everything like that. You know what I mean? Like,
by then I was like, you know, it's probably better than the one I watched, but at the same time, I'm in high school now and I don't want to get judged for watching Ninja Turtles, so I'm gonna watch Dragon Ball Z instead.
Yeah, exactly. It's one of those things. And the weird thing is, it's like, when I went back and watched that 2000 show, I'm like, this show's fucking great. Like, it's like everything you could want in Ninja Turtles, where it sort of combines like the darkness and a little bit more serious tone of the comic books, but still keeps like the fun charm that like the original series brought. You know what I mean?
Good things about that one.
It's all good. Like that show is just so good the whole way through. It's like one of those ones. It's the same thing with like the X-Men Evolution. Cause I remember I had attitude against that one when that came out too. And then I sat down and watched it and I was like, dude, this show is just as good. Let's be honest. Like, I mean, maybe not like as nostalgic, but like it's good the whole way through. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, well, there's also it was surprising when people, when the first movie came out, maybe critics didn't like it, but a lot of parents actually liked the first movie. And they're like, you know what? I mean, I don't think they loved it, but they're like, I think my kid to see the stupid fucking Turtles thing, and then came out like, oh, it was kind of fun. Yeah, yeah, all right, it was good, kind of cool. And then, you know, the second
they're
one.
Like, it's better than that Care Bears movie he dragged me to a couple years ago. Shit, well, I don't know what was going on there.
Transformers shit really was really confusing me, and they're all like dancing to Dare to Be Stupid and some shit. Like, what the fuck is going on here? But I'm kind of glad it's back, and I think they kind of learned their lesson. Like, yeah, come back. And plus, kids, it's kind of funny because it comes in waves where just like super 90s, super of the time, but now it's back again, and kids of this generation love Turtles because they have the CG Nickelodeon one, you know?
Well, I think there's another show that's even come, because it's like there's a couple of shows that have kind of come in like the last, like, I almost want to say there's like three different shows that have come since the 2000 show.
There's the CG Nickelodeon one, which had a lot of good reviews. I think the first season or two, people, I mean, I only saw one episode of it when I saw it was good, but people
yeah,
are like,
I don't, a lot yeah, of people told me that that one is great. Like, I mean, people older than us were like, yeah, dude, it's fucking amazing. Like, you know what I mean? So go figure.
Yeah. They're like saying like, yeah, you know, it's good. You got to give it a season, but I mean, not that that first season's bad, but it gets better. And then they had one where they're all kind of a lot more like, I don't know what you call it, but they look a lot more kind of crazier and over the top designs, and the episodes are shorter. And then I think there's another one they're making now, and I don't know, but
it's at some point it's one of those ones. It's not that anything's wrong with all of that, but there just comes that point where you're like, okay, I can only keep up so much, you know what I mean? And I don't know. Sometimes there is that kind of old man thing. You're like, well, I got enough reruns that I can watch till the day I die, so I might be good for now.
Exactly. Well, you know, and I'll probably get. I haven't really watched the full Turtle show in a long time. I'll check out the movies when they come out. But
I got the box set and the original one. It's got all seven seasons or whatever on it. It's like,
I don't need all seven.
36 discs or something like ridiculous. Jesus. Just like, hey, you got nothing to do this month? Neither do I. Turtles.
Nostalgia has a limit. That's what I'm going to say. On that note, though, because originally we were just saying, well, since Shredder's Revenge came out, let's talk about something Turtles related. And yeah, we've both been meaning to check out this book, The Last Ronin, which is basically the Old Man Logan / Dark Knight Returns of Ninja Turtles.
/ Unforgiven.
Unforgiven, yeah. And I was just like, this would be a fun book to check out. And I figured it'd be good, but I liked it a lot. And I figured I'd like it, but I liked it more than I thought I would.
Yeah, no, I was actually pretty impressed with it. Overall, I enjoyed it. I thought it was really good. I like how it does kind of, like, when you first look at, like, I mean, like, just in my mind, I hear Last Ronin, I'm like, eh, so it's a Raphael story, right? Okay, that makes sense, right? You know, like, not even really questioning or looking into it. And spoilers alert, you know, you kind of go through the first issue and it doesn't really tell you who that turtle is. I just kind of like, you know, he's got attitude, he's angry, he's busting in, he's kicking people in the balls, fighting with all kinds of weapons. It does the thing where it throws you off because he's carrying all the turtles' weapons. He's got the staff, he's got the swords, he's got the nunchucks, and he's got the size. So you're like, you don't really know who he is. He's got a black bandana on and so on like that. But they really almost kind of, by his attitude and by his like stance and look, they're really trying to tell you that it's Raphael, but really it's like, it's kind of like a switcheroo there. And it's almost one of those ones that I think it's kind of interesting there where it's like, you learn, it's like, oh shit, no, that's Michelangelo. And he had to watch all his fucking brothers die and everyone he loved. And by that point he got serious. He put the Spicoli attitude out the window. He turned the TV off, set the controller down.
He was ordering pizza. It was vegetarian only. Actually, no, it was all meat. It was all meat.
No, he's like one of those ones. He's like, instead of that pizza, give me a steak.
Exactly. Don't. No need to cook it. No, it's one of those things.
I want it raw.
Before reading this, did you even know what the book was about, or did you hear about this beforehand?
I only knew that there was just this Last Ronin book coming out. I didn't know anything about it. It was just like, new Turtles book. Cool. That's all I knew. I just kind of heard about it in like the grapevine, but nothing. I didn't know what it was about. I didn't realize it also had Peter Laird and Kevin Eastman back on there, which that's almost like one of the things that's really cool about it. You know what I mean? Like, they're in there. They're at least doing the story part. They're doing some of the layouts. I want to say Peter Laird's just there for the story, but like Kevin Eastman's doing some of the story layouts. He even does some drawings in there, which is awesome because that original run of both those guys' books, like, I have the entire, like, I think, like, 7 or 8 volume collection of, like, the classic black and white run. Like, that is one of the best series of all time in comic books. Like, their artwork, their stories, those original Ninja Turtles from the 80s and the early 90s is so fucking good. You know what I mean? And it's one of those ones, I'm glad to actually see Kevin Eastman have his kind of art in there again. Like, I will say this, if he and Peter Laird said, let's sit down and draw this entire book, that would make it even more amazing.
Well, it's also one of those things that, like, I remember, because I've only read, like, 1 or 2 issues of the original run, which I have been meaning to actually get, like, a big, like, omnibus of their run.
Big black and white ones. That's the set to get. Don't get the modernized color ones. You got to get the original black and white ones. They make a big fat set of them.
Yeah, I was looking into those, and some of them were decently priced. I was considering that. But the thing that's really inspiring about that is you look at it, and it's not that the artwork's bad, but it looks very scratchy and very rough. But it fits it perfectly. It doesn't feel like this counts. It doesn't feel like that. It feels like, oh no, this is really good, but they just came out at a different angle. It's kind of like, and I know we always use this comparison, but it's kind of like Brian Lee O'Malley, where you kind of like, it's not bad. I mean, it is good. It's really good. but it's very simplistic. And looking in this, you kind of see a lot of that. There, in certain flashbacks, they'll have that art style from the original run, and it looks great. And it just kind of really sets the tone. And the thing about this book is, I knew what it was about, but I didn't know who it was going to be exactly. Because they said, it's about, there's only one turtle left, and he's carrying the weapons of all of them. We don't know who it is yet. And like, oh, shit. So then he's going in back into the city to take it over. Like, oh, okay. So I heard that's what it was about before even opening the book. So that would have been probably a cooler experience for you in that aspect, because you didn't even know what this book was about. So
no, I didn't even realize there was one turtle until I was about like 20, maybe not that far, like 15 pages in. I'm like, oh, okay, he's actually talking to, like, his brothers aren't actually there behind him doing like nothing. They're he's just talking to himself. Oh, that's interesting.
Well, it's interesting because it's not, they also do the thing, they don't show like, the dialogue balloons don't like just, it's not like there's a blue dialogue balloon and there's a red dialogue balloon, there's a purple dialogue balloon. It's just, they're coming off screen. We don't know who it is, and we're just trying to figure it out. And they don't do the thing where it's all in his head. Like, they make it look like there's literally someone there just off screen talking to him, but we never see him. And after a while you piece together, oh, this is, he's just talking to himself right now. But then at the exact same time, I was like, okay, it's going to be one or two of them. It's either going to be Raphael, because this is a very Raphael, he's acting like Raphael, or they're going to totally bait and switch us and make it Michelangelo, because nobody's expecting it to be Michelangelo. Nobody's expecting Michelangelo to be the angry, hard, gritty guy. And that's what they do. And even though Michelangelo is my least favorite of the four, I think it's a really smart choice to make him the last one standing, because he is, by all means, the dope and the clown of the group. And if you think, oh, it's all in Michelangelo's hands now, you're like, oh, we're fucked. So and he kind of feels that way too. So I feel like it was a really good choice to make him the last of the four, just for character growth and just, you know, because Leonardo, we know what Leonardo would do. We know what Raphael would do. And we also know what Donatello would do. And they would all come at it from different angles. But Michelangelo, like, I don't know what Michelangelo would do, you know?
Yeah, no, and I think that's what makes it kind of interesting. It's like, oh, hey, here's a heart of Michelangelo. And it's one of those ones, like, I kind of wanted, like, as you're reading through, is like, is he ever going to kind of do some Michelangelo things? And it's almost like he's written like Raphael nowadays. Like, that's almost how he is. He's hardened, but he's not, like, as, like, easy thought, like, in a sense, like, or, like, I guess planning is, like, you know, like, say Leonardo is. Like, Leonardo kind of knows what's going on. He's always got, he's always three steps ahead, always that kind of stuff like that. You know, he's almost going at it sort of in a Raphael way, where just, like, you just go balls to the wall, you just bust in there, you see what happens, like, on the spot. Like, let's not think too hard on it. Let's just react.
He's kind of a little bit of, he isn't totally, he's one of two things. He's like Raphael, but a little bit more reserved, or an older Raphael who's kind of like, I've kind of charged in head first enough to know how this pans out. I'm still going to charge in there. Yeah. I'm going to do it differently. So I feel like this particular version of Michelangelo is kind of more of like, he's a little bit of all his brothers by this point. He is more definitely like, he's probably more Leonardo and Raphael as opposed to Donatello, because Donatello is just more smarts. However, the planning and the, okay, I got to be realistic about how I'm going to do this. At the same time, I really want to snap this motherfucker's neck. So it's kind of like bouncing between those two. And every so often you have some Donatello kind of wisdom come in, like, all right, well, I got to be realistic. How am I really going to work around this? Because Donatello is the more pragmatic one, where Leonardo is more the tactical one, and Raphael is like, let's see what fucking happens, and Michelangelo is getting stoned and eating cupcakes in the corner, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Like, hey man, I made some friends of some of these, you know, foot soldiers. They're not so bad if you know, you get to know them, like, you know what I mean? Like,
we really bonded.
Steve, he loves American Ninja, so do I.
That's Carl. Well, you know, Carl's kind of a dick, but if you get him talking about the right thing, he's very easy to talk to. He fucking loves Dragon Ball, if you can believe it. Don't bring up Z. Don't bring up Z. But he loves Dragon Ball.
He's one of those kind of guys. He says he likes adventure. He doesn't really like fighting.
Yeah. But it's one of those things where, as this goes on, I mean, it is kind of like, I don't want to dismiss it as, oh, it's just this. But it is just kind of like your revenge story. he's been gone for a long time and he's come back to take control. He's come back to stop the Foot Clan from controlling the city.
Yeah. I mean, I will say, like, the core sort of story of it is sort of, I don't want to say it in a kind of a bad way, but it sort of is a little bit of like kind of like a generic cyberpunk kind of like revenge kind of thing. Like, it's in the future, it's dystopian, things are being taken over by one, like, you know, ruler dictator kind of guy and so on like that, and only one man can come back to stop it all. It kind of has like that kind of like that story that, like, I will say it's like this one's ones like the first time, the second time you kind of read a story like this, it definitely feels like, man, that's like one of the best ideas ever. Like, I'm surprised nobody else has ever done it. But like by this point I could think of like, you know, handfuls of stories that kind of do this. So it is kind of like that one where it's like, I'm not saying it's necessarily a bad thing, but it is kind of like the, you know, kind of like paint by numbers as far as like the kind of core story goes. I think it's the other stuff on like the sidelines that really stand out, but the core story is kind of like, gets back, there's a resistance, they're on the underground, they're fighting against, you know, in a sense the new dictator now is Shredder's grandson. He's up there being a total ass, you know, and being pompous and all that kind of stuff,
which I want to say something about Shredder's grandson. I don't remember his name, so I'm gonna fuck about him.
It's like Hirosho or Hirodo or
some shit like that. Yeah. The thing about him is, I feel like there's a major, how do I put this? I feel like the dialogue, we said it's a very basic story. And a basic story can be really good sometimes because we know how it plays out. It just gives us time to focus on the characters and the dialogue.
And the scenes and all. Yeah, the action.
Yeah, and I feel like that all is really good in this. There's like a lot of really good, like, just back and forth between characters and even the conversations he has going in his head with the spirits of his brothers.
Mm-hmm.
But when it gets to Shredder's grandson, it goes Saturday morning real fucking hard. But I think that's intentional. I think that's intentional because I feel like Shredder and Karai are two people. I think that's Shredder's daughter,
yeah,
right?
Karai. Yeah, Karai.
They're meant to be two. Maybe they're evil, but they're meant to be honorable. They're meant to be kind of like, yeah, he's a fucking dick, but he's going to play by the rules. Where this is like a little privileged, snooty asshole who,
yeah,
born with a silver spoon up his ass. So
yeah, totally.
None of that applies to him, and he has this very lofty, like, and there is obvious skill to him. But it's more like tech-based stuff with him as it goes on than actual skill. And he dies very pitifully. And I feel like that when there's a big lack of quality in his writing, and it goes from very much from like, I will show them all, I will rule this city, ah ha ha ha, you know, it goes to that kind of shit. It's like meant to be, I think that's very meant to be like, oh, this fucking dickhead. And then like we get back to everybody else who's like, oh, they're well written. Okay, cool.
Yeah, I think there is like a choice that's kind of there because it does go hardcore like that. And he almost has that almost like proto, like those first couple of books of Damien where you're like, this fucking guy, fucking, I want just Nightwing just to slowly murder him right here. Red Robin just to fucking step on his throat and just call it a fucking day. You know what I mean? Like, and then it's like, it went on. You're like, oh, okay, I do like Damien as time has gone on. But those first couple of books, I just remember it's just like, he was just there to piss you off almost in a sense. I feel like that was sort of intentional. Like they knew they were going to try something really hard, like a boomerang effect. Like, you're going to fucking hate the living daylights out here. But when the boomerang comes back around, you're next thing you know, he's going to be one of your favorites.
Why? Because I'm fucking Grant Morrison.
Yeah, exactly. You know, but yeah, the Shredder's kid, I think he's just literally supposed to be like, no. He's this just overprivileged, Richie douchebag kid who's like almost like Biff in like Back to the Future too, and now he's totally in charge. Even though Biff's not like a Richie douchebag, he's just an old school bully who just happened to get money. But you know what I mean? The whole thing is he's got all this power and all this control, and he thinks he's doing awesome because he's got these robots and he's got Baxter Stockman and all that stuff under his like thumb.
Can I just say, I don't want to backtrack or derail us too long, but just something about Biff crossed my mind. Isn't it kind of weird? Well, first off, we see how shitty, sidebar for a second. We see how shitty the McFly's family's life is. Just Biff comes into his house, like giving it, like being the shit out of his dad right in front of his son and all this and that. And then he goes back in time and basically stops Biff from date raping his mom. And then he knocks him the fuck out. From that day forward, like, well, here's basically our slave to of the family, our family slave. Like, what happened? Well, he tried to rape your mom back during the prom, but the old dad and our mysterious friend who we never saw again, we named you after him, Mark. Just like the idea of like, how do you fucking tell that story? Like, why do we have this guy hanging around our house all the time? He tried to fuck your mom, and I smacked the shit out of him.
So you know what? I feel like you always got to keep one eye on him, son. That's what you do. One eye on him. And that's how we keep him around here. You know what I mean? Every once in a while, I take him out back and beat the shit out of him just to let him know who's fucking boss.
Sometimes you go around the front lawn for the neighbors to see.
Yeah. Just right there. You know what I mean? Like, he knows his place, son. That's what you got to do. You got to put people in their place.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to derail us, but I just popped in my head. I was thinking about that the other day, and you just brought it up. Anyway, going back to this, though. The whole thing with this is, because if we were to tell you, like, okay, Michelangelo comes back to New York, city's taken over by the Foot Clan, they're trying to take it back, there's a resistance underground, surprise, April's leading the resistance, surprise, she had a daughter with Casey Jones, surprise, all that time spinning with the turtles apparently mutated April and Casey, so now the daughter's quasi-mutant, but just that she's fast and she's strong, that's all it kind of is, really. Mm-hmm. And then they have the one more, like, the couple of battles, and then it's over. It's kind of like, it works because, you know, the action, the artwork and all that's fantastic, and the back and forth is good, and piecing together what happened to the rest of the turtles and all that and everybody else in that universe. At the same time, though, it's the most entertaining part is probably the flashbacks of just figuring out how each turtle died, what happened to Splinter, what happened to Casey, all that.
Yeah, no, I think that definitely is kind of it, because the rest of it is just kind of your old school, we're the resistance, we got to band together and fight them off, and you know what, we're going to join forces, and we're going against the man, like that kind of like thing. But like, I think it's all the little things is what I kind of liked about it. You know, as you said, the flashbacks and all that good stuff, and just kind of learn about it. I like, you know, in a sense, Casey and April's like daughter, Casey, which is kind of confusing when it's like that, but you know, I mean, it's like, what's those ones? It's like that thing's like, hey, we didn't really realize it, but your dad kind of also has a name that could also be a girl's name.
So Casey, we just Marie decided. Jones.
Yeah, there we go. You know, but, you know, it's like two steps. Like, why isn't it just Casey April Jones? Jesus Christ. We're already so close to it. Like,
that's a good point.
You know, your father was pretty adamant that that my name couldn't be in there. I don't know why, but,
yeah.
But it's one of the, it's like he's dead, but that was also the last thing he said.
So weird last words, like, I love you more than anything. Don't ever change. By the way, if you ever have a daughter, do not name her after yourself. Only me. Boom.
Name her name Marie. Who's Marie? None of your concern.
Explosion.
Yeah.
Those are the last words Casey ever said to me.
Yeah, exactly. Like one of
my husband
things.
Casey, not daughter, just to clarify.
Yeah, because it gets kind of weird when I say it like that. But that character is kind of interesting anyways, because the whole thing about her is that she kind of just grew up like looking at all the Ninja Turtle stuff and having kind of the stuff there. And she's sort of like completely self-taught. So like she's kind of, I guess, rough around the edges. But at the same time, like she's got the gumption and she's put in a lot of dedication and a lot of self-teaching and so on like that. I mean, Michelangelo comes there, goes like, he starts going like almost talking kind of like Leonardo, like, you fucked up. You didn't read the book right. Well, it's in Japanese. Well, is it? I got a lot to work with here. You know what I mean? Like, that kick, it sucked. That punch, it's weak. You hit like a fucking girl. Oh, sorry. I thought it was still the 1980s, because I can't say that anymore. I didn't realize it was the future.
He's doing a little bit of that. He's doing that shit to make her mad, to come at him, and just like, all right, cool, cool. It's like, then, like, okay, she's clearly taking after Raph a little bit. Easy to piss off.
Yeah, exactly. It's just one of those ones like, I don't care how much fucking book reading you did, it didn't do fucking shit. Look at Donatello. He read a lot of books. He's fucking dead.
He was like, so the order they all go out in, like, what is it? It's
I think like Leo goes first, right? Isn't it?
I actually think it was like Raph goes first, because I think that Leo and Splinter came back injured, not dead, but injured, I think. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they did die first. Because there's a whole part where they actually go, where Splinter and Donatello go to because you know what's his name, little douchebag, like little shred
or whatever the fuck,
shred shit, whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
Shredlet. I don't know. When he went in to like, okay, well now I'm the one running the Foot Clan, and I say it's going to be peace, or is it? And then they call him over, and she's like, hey guys, you brought weapons. Like, yeah, we don't fucking trust you. You said you want a peace, so what are we going to do? All right, we just want to hang out, man. We just want to talk. Just come closer. No, fuck you. Where is our... All right, arrows now! You know, and then they come in. And I like how, like, that whole part, like, he's even in that whole scene, even though he's in all this big armor, it definitely looks like a kid playing dress up to some extent.
Yeah. And I mean, and I think that's always intentional, that it's supposed to be this guy just... He really is kind of like, if you just took him out and it was just mano a mano, like, he's not going to fucking win ever.
Mm-hmm.
But exactly. With a lot of technology, a lot of soldiers, a lot of, you know, people under his thumb, he might get by for quite a long time, you know? I think that's sort of what it's supposed to be.
And it's Raphael. It's like members of, I forget the Ninja Turtles actual, the clan they derive from. But it's like a few of them... And then Donatello and Splinter, and Splinter and Donatello go down fighting. I don't remember if they die right there or if they just get really badly injured.
Because Donatello takes a bunch of arrows for Splinter, and then Splinter somehow gets caught in like the next wave or whatever.
Yeah, and they all go down. And then I think Raphael goes on a fucking murder rampage, and he goes up and is trying to fight Karai. And I think Leo and Casey die.
They die in the explosion.
Together
and like another event and so on. And I know it's like the whole thing is like Michelangelo, once he learns that Splinter and Donatello, because I think that was the final like guys to go out, he's like, he goes out for like 10 years if not 20 years almost, like in waiting to like train and figure things out and so on like that. And then when he gets back, he's like, oh shit, I didn't realize it got way worse when I was gone. And April's like, fuck yeah it did, look at me, I'm haggard, I'm a news reporter, and now I'm like an expert in robotics and so on like that. Like, nobody would have thought that was ever a career path. Like, you're not going to pivot from being like talking in front of the camera to next thing you know, you're running the resistance down here.
By the way, I got a robot arm and leg now.
Yeah, by the way, yeah, I blew up there and so on. And I fucking love caffeine. It's a holdover from working at the news station, but like, I'm literally shooting it up right now in my veins.
She's like knocking, she's like crunching up some beans, just like doing a line. Like,
This is straight from Colombia. Oh yeah, you know I don't need cocaine. You do enough caffeine, you're fucking wired for days. I don't know what like she was. It's like Michelangelo's like, whoa, April, you gotta fucking. Let's be honest. If you have that much caffeine, you're never gonna be able to work on these robots. You're gonna have fucking shaky hand syndrome. You're gonna look like the fucking people in Book of Eli that've been eating flesh for too long.
Don't tell me who I am.
You ever see those people that drink like
off for 10 years, trying to fucking kill yourself in the snow, but you can't fucking die because you're a fucking mutant? Get the fuck out of here!
She's like waking a fucking Mountain Dew. Well, you need to lay down the caffeine. I'll fucking tell you what I need to lay down.
How long does this go on for? A whole issue in this one room.
Casey's like, well my mom's all hopped up on Code Red right now. You got to just leave the room when she's like that. She's a maniac.
When Baja Blast comes out for the summer, stay the fuck away. She needs to get her fixed seasonally.
Yeah, she somehow she rents a fucking trailer outside of New York City and is just out there on like a fucking binge for 2 weeks.
She says this is for her. The city can burn for all she cares. She just needs these 2 weeks to herself.
Yeah, exactly.
We just hear Anthrax playing, and every so often we hear her scream at the top of her lungs, do the do!
Yeah, it's one of those ones. Like, I was still something like that. Just made me laugh. I'm like, why is she so fucking hopped up on caffeine like throughout this thing? Like I don't know what that's trying to think. Because have you ever seen somebody who's like taking too much caffeine in life, like when they get older, like they're fucking like they come up and their fucking hands are shaking like this, and you're like, dude, what the fuck? Like that almost like I saw a couple people do that, and I was like, that makes me not want to drink caffeine. I see that, I'm like, oh Jesus. Like, I mean, like, granted, mostly all those people tell you, like, I used to drink three, you know, pots of coffee a day or every morning, and you'd be like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
I don't know. I saw somebody who looked basically like Jackie Earle Haley from Shutter Island. And I was like, maybe they were just wired on caffeine. Like, yeah, man, I just so, yeah. I was like, oh, maybe I won't have this monster today. Maybe I'll just pass on that for a little bit.
They go to, like, bring you a cup of water, and their hands are going like this, and, like, literally half the fucking cup is spilled out all over the place. You're like, go back and do it again. Without the caffeine this time.
But yeah, April loves her some caffeine now. That's a new thing.
She's just smashing up pills and taking it any which way but loose. I don't know.
She's like sleeps for the week. Keep that in mind.
Yeah, but, and for some reason, I just love the thing about, like, this. It is kind of funny. Go, like, April O'Neil, she's a news reporter, and then all of a sudden she's like running the robotics lab in, like, the underground resistance. It's just kind of it's a funny turn of events. Not saying that anyone can't go there, but you know what I mean, like.
I do like the part where they bring it back around because you have Stockman in a flashback who basically helps set up an explosion which killed Leonardo and Casey.
Yeah.
And he was trying to get to, I forget the name of the robot, but there's a robot that they're friends with. Remember how to actually...
Not the Fuji.
Finbu.
Yeah. It's the God, why am I drawing a blank on this? The Fugazoid or whatever the fuck.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah. I had an action figure of it. I remember that. And that thing, he was like, if I can't have it, no one can. He tried to explode it and this and that.
Yeah.
April managed to scrounge parts of it up, and that thing later kills, like, Cyborg Baxter Stockman, which is like, all right, that was pretty badass. For a second, I was like, who is that? Oh, shit, that's Baxter Stockman. He's all Cyborg now, you know?
But yeah, he literally looks like Cyborg almost. At this point, he's got, like, the silver, and he's, like, half robot and everything like that, and the mousers are all just, like, flying around him and so on.
I assumed he could turn back into a fly at some point. That's what I was waiting on. But I was like, oh, he's just a robot man now. Okay. But
you know what's the weird thing is, I almost think in the comics, like in, like, the Kevin Eastman, like, Peter Laird ones, I can't remember if he turns into a fly in that one or whatnot.
That could just be something from the cartoon.
I mean, like, it's one of those ones, like, it might be, maybe it is in there. But sometimes at some point, the older you get, sometimes it's hard, like, all these things sort of, like, fade together in one solid, like, memory, and you're not too sure which one it comes from, but...
I just remember, yeah.
Yeah, I know in the cartoon he turns into a fly.
Yeah, now I'm kind of curious about that. But no, this something I really appreciate about this is at some point they do the whole, like, bait and switch on you because you think Karai is going to come back because you see he has his mother in, like, cryo sleep. And even though I like Karai and they do her dirty in this, I give it credit just for having the balls to do it. Because at some point, he's just like, wait, mother, one day you'll see. You'll see what I've accomplished. And, you know, she's in cryo sleep, so she's not dead from her fight with Raph. And then right before Michelangelo and Little Bitch Boy have their final standoff, he has, like, his blades and stabs her in the face in her sleep. And he's just like, I always hated my mother. She was never there for me. She was never there to make my... to pack my Danimal yogurts, you know, or whatever. So I'm kind of like, I fucking, and, like, even Donatello is like, or no, Michelangelo is like, she sucked, but at least she had honor, you know? So,
yeah. I'm like, you, bitch boy.
Exactly. So it's kind of one of those things where, yeah, does it suck that she's dead? Yeah, that kind of sucks. But at the same time, I give her credit just for presenting her and having the bait and switch of, like, oh no, she's not the final boss. This little fucker is the final boss.
Yeah, she's never coming back. Like, no, I think that kind of works there, because that's the thing, is, like, you know, like, instead you don't have that where it's not like she's gonna come there, she's gonna change things around or anything like that. It's like, no, she's just there to think you're gonna come, and she's dead, and that's it. And bitch boy here just gets, you know, to fight. He's got his, like, Terminator, he's got his T-1000 fucking suit on or whatever, because that's the only way he can fight Michelangelo.
That, and then I don't remember how he beats him exactly, but I do like how the fight leads from the top of the building into the sewer. So,
yeah.
Okay, all right, because if we're going to be doing Ninja Turtle shit, it should be in the sewer at some point. And they end up just out, kind of like outside New York, in basically just a mud pit. And Michelangelo's like, you're not going to get a nice, noble death on top of a skyscraper. You're going to die out here in the mud, where no one's going to find you, where you'll be forgotten forever. Like, that's it, Bassett! They just, like, arm runs. Like, I remember what he does, but I think he just, like, gets him in a headlock, slams him down the mud, and I think he almost just, like...
Now, let's be honest, it's not mud. They came flying out of the sewers.
Yeah, I'm being, yeah. I think he just flat out just like suffocates him in shit, really.
Yeah. Pretty much. You know, like one of those ones. And then it's just like, you know, Michelangelo's taking so much hits throughout the night and so much stabs, and he just kind of like, he gives it his all right there to finish him off. And to do like what, in a sense, this whole thing's been like this master plan of Splinter's. It's just like, you know, in Splinter's fucking diary, he's like one of those ones like, you know, at some point I want my kids to fucking murder everybody in the Foot Clan and just put an end to it. God forbid.
Just like that part out of the original Red Dawn. Avenge me!
Yeah, exactly.
But you think it would be like, son, go out, live your life, try to like find peace, try to live the life I cannot live. Instead, it's avenge me! All right, I guess we got it right. We go avenge Dad now.
Dad really hates
you. This one
makes
more sense. This one makes more sense.
Yeah,
I fucking hate vodka. So help me Christ, if I ever see you drinking vodka,
you better have a Coors in your hand. but yeah, no, this one, it's like, well, this one's like he does that kind of thing where he's like, okay, we put it into the Foot Clan. We've tried. It's been fucking a 3-generation process thing here. You know what I mean? You know, really, when you think about Michelangelo's, like what, like at this point, he's got to be pushing like 80 years old, because April looks fucking old as fuck in this thing.
I don't think he's supposed to be 80. I think they're supposed to be. April looks like she's probably 60, and I always took it as the turtles were maybe like 10 years to 15 years younger than what
I guess April. That's probably true.
Like, that's true. If April's like probably 24, the turtles are like 15 or 16.
I guess because it gets like so futuristic that you almost kind of makes you feel like it's way farther in the future than maybe it really is.
And she's also, even aside from being a super addicted to caffeine, she's also like burn scars from being in a flaming building. So
that's true.
I think that she's probably supposed to be like 50, and Donnie or Michelangelo is supposed to be somewhere in his like 40s. That's what I'm guessing.
Okay. That makes sort of sense.
Because when all this shit went down, they weren't teenagers anymore. They were already like probably in their 20s or 30s by then.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like it's been going on for a long time, and then you just kind of wonder. Then Michelangelo's been gone for 10 years or something like that. Hmm. You know, Shredder's got a fucking grandson who's already fully grown.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So that's where I kind of go like, that makes it feel like it's been a lot longer than it probably really is, but maybe not as much.
And he's probably, that grandson's probably only in his like 20s. I think he took control of everything at like teenage years. So he's probably like late 20s, early 30s.
Yeah, exactly. You know, something like that. But yeah, no, overall though, it's like, it still is a very cool read. It's interesting, kind of like that alternative take. Like, I guess if this was like that, you know, that last turtle story that you would have, well, this is kind of like that definitive one and whatnot like that. You know, it's always funny because people always want to go for like the last stories is like the one where like everybody fucking dies. And it's kind of like that, like one there, like nobody just goes with like the one where it's like, what was just the, what was the super happy ending? You know what I mean? Like Wayne's World Star, like, doo-doo, doo-doo, doo-doo.
Well, I guess it's cool because, you know, I think, you know, it's kind of funny because Turtles is kind of like, let's poke fun at Frank Miller and how serious comic books take themselves. It's kind of the origin of Ninja Turtles in the first place. But at the same time, I think everyone does like, well, what would be the, because I'll be honest, I don't want this to be the ending for the Turtles. But they flat out said, this is not the official ending. This is a pocket universe. So,
yeah.
And they even said they're going to continue this because at the very end, they show them with after Michelangelo's dead. And the thing that's nice is after they show him die, he wakes up in bed and all the other Turtles are waiting there for him. And they go out on top of the city. And it's basically, it has a very Saturday morning. Hey, man, we're all happy. We're all having fun again. We're making fart jokes or whatever. And then, yeah. You know, Splinter and Casey are there. And, like, you know, like, Splinter's like, the York always had a odd odor, Michelangelo. And then all of a sudden, like, well, whatever it is, it smells like home. And just see them all standing on top of the building. Beautiful sunny day. So it's just like, okay, there's afterlife in Turtles world. Awesome. And, I kind of like, I don't know. There is something about like, let's do the dark and edgy version, but let's not make this canon. Let's make it be kind of a little standalone thing, which I think is probably the best way to go. Cause I don't want them to all die this brutally and horrifically, you know?
Well, the only thing that makes me kind of worried is because, like when I always feel like the true canon's always going to come from Kevin Eastman and Peter Laird. Like, everything else is kind of like bonus stories, in my opinion. I think, like, when it comes down to, like, the core stories, like, those are the guys you got to look at. So, like, whatever they decide, it's their story first and foremost, you know? Like, yeah. I like to always say the original creator, in a sense, it's like George Lucas with Star Wars. It's like, whatever George says, that's the true story of Star Wars. Everything else is somebody else's, like, fucking, like, fan fiction, let's be honest.
Yeah, but they did have, I think they did come out with an announcement that this is a pocket universe, because they are gonna, even though Michelangelo's dead at the very end, you see Casey and April preparing to make new turtles, and girl Casey is going to teach him, just clarify, girl Casey is going to teach him how to be ninja. She's going to become the master.
Girl Casey, who hasn't mastered the martial arts, is going to
She's got the pamphlet, so she's good. She's got to learn.
She got the pamphlet. She's got to learn Japanese first.
He's got to get on Duolingo, knock that shit out. There you go. You're a master.
Yeah, exactly. You know, but which would be kind of interesting to see where that kind of goes. Like, I know it says to be continued, which it is kind of like has that feeling. Like, I mean, yeah, it's like kind of like Dark Knight Returns. Like, it's like kind of like a one-off. Here you go, kind of story, whatnot. Doesn't mean it's totally the end. Just means it's kind of its own like what if kind of story. It'd be kind of interesting to see, but at the same time, I think it's kind of a weird story to leave a to be continued. I feel like you could have just left it off there and just said like, yeah, that's kind of it. Because sometimes those ones like let's be honest, are we going to read a Ninja Turtle story that doesn't have the Ninja Turtles in it?
Well, that's I guess the thing. Even like whether you like Dark Knight Strikes Back or not, it's still about Batman and the world of Batman and DC Comics. So. And yeah, he's not he doesn't come into that book till a little later, even though it's called Dark Knight Strikes Again.
Yeah.
However, Carrie Kelly's there, and you got all these other things exploring that universe. So I guess you could do like, well, where's Krang at? But at the end of the day, it's April, Girl Casey, New Turtles, and I guess whatever new villain you want to get or update a version of old villains. So
yeah,
I don't know. I'm not really interested in seeing a continuation of this. If I hear really good things, maybe I'll check it out. But I heard this was basically the Dark Knight Returns of Turtles. So I was curious for that reason.
Yeah. Well, it's like we've all learned that people mostly go up in arms if there is a fucking new Ninja Turtle. Because remember like in the 90s when there was the girl turtle that came out and people flipped out?
She is back in the new comics because I want to say.
Oh, is she? Because I will say this, those live action like TV shows are actually not bad at all. Like they're kind of done Power Rangers style. Mm-hmm. But like I that character never bothered me. Like I remember like when like because I heard about that later in life that people just like flipped out when that character came out. Like to me when that show came out originally I was like, oh, that's kind of cool, that makes sense to have a girl turtle, you know.
Sorry.
What I mean,
oh yeah, the thing glitched out for a minute. Yeah, no, I know what you mean. Well, I know that right now, so there was a IDW, I think it was IDW, put out a new Ninja Turtles series, which was just meant to be just like Ninja Turtles for a new generation, but it's not like the cartoon or nothing. And that one, when it came out, like I think in somewhere in the 2000s, and it went on for a while, and then I think ended a few years back, and not long ago, maybe a few years ago, they did a continuation of it called like Ninja Turtles Reborn or something. And I saw that turtle, at least a girl, a yellow girl turtle on the cover. So I'm like, oh she's back.
She got the yellow on this time?
Wasn't she yellow before?
No, she had like the stupid color. Like she had like light blue, which that was the only thing I always thought was stupid. Oh. It was like, they're like, no, don't, for the colorblind kids out there, don't fucking make them have like two similar colors. I will say this, even red and orange is sometimes kind of pushing it. Like that's almost a little bit close, you know.
Yeah,
I think it's one of those ones. Like, yeah, she should have had a completely different color. No, in the TV show, she was light blue. I mean, I know the stereotypical thing would have been to give her, like, pink. You know what I mean? But, like, at least pink doesn't look like any of the other colors.
Yeah. There's a ninja girl. Yeah, there's a yellow one now. And I'm not sure how frequently she should be part of it. But, yeah, no, I wouldn't mind checking it out. I had the first volume of that series, and I liked it. I just never got around to check out the second volume. But I appreciate it. Shredder was nowhere to be seen in the first volume. So
that's kind of nice.
they knew to hold back.
Well, that's like the thing is like when the Kevin Eastman and Peter Laird one, like, dude, Shredder dies in the very first book. Just it's literally the same story as the movie. That's kind of the best way. I mean, it's slightly different, but for the most part, like similar beats. They don't bring Shredder back to like issue 52 or something like that. Like he's not in it for like ever. And something like that. And they make it a special arc when he gets brought back. And he literally gets brought back from like the dead, like fucking resurrected. Like they like one of those kind of things. Like, so it's kind of interesting, like in, you know, the comics, like they thought that, hey, Shredder's dead. That was it. He was just supposed to be the first villain. Nothing more.
Yeah, we need to give him a break. So Foot Clan could be there. Sure. Why not?
Yeah. It's weird thing too is Shredder's actually one of those kind of characters. Like he's literally like one of the best villains ever kind of made. I'm not gonna lie. He's like a Joker in a sense. But it's one of those ones like the downfall of the Turtles is a lot of the stuff always gets kind of stuck where they always are using Shredder. Like it's almost like one of those ones like imagine if every Batman movie just used the Joker and nobody else. You know what I mean? Like literally you never had like a Batman Returns, you didn't have a Batman Forever, you didn't have any of these other kind of like, hey, we're gonna try some other characters out. It's just like Joker, 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 Joker. Be like, whoa, whoa, pump the brakes on that. Super Why Joker. Not?
I don't. He's Bane Joker.
yeah, exactly.
I remember, which they did more than once.
You know, if Kevin, I'll say this, if Kevin Nash came back and played fucking Joker in one of the movies, I mean, I would come back and see that if that was what it was. Like
Kevin Nash?
He plays Kevin Nash, the wrestler, Diesel. He plays Super Shredder in Ninja Turtles 2.
Oh, you said Shredder. I heard Joker for some reason. Okay.
Well, that's what I said, like, because I was joking, super Joker.
Oh, okay.
If Kevin Nash played fucking Joker, that would be amazing. But it's like super Joker, like Bane Joker. I would take that.
By this point, yeah, make a joke about turtle soup. I know that when in the first movie, in the first of the Michael Bay movies, there's a person who's like, I'll have turtle soup tonight. Like, oh, it's from the video game. And then, like, or did he ever say that in any of the movies, or was that just out of the game?
I think that's literally in the show as well, too. At some
show,
point.
Too? Okay, I'm in the show as well. All right.
I don't know. Maybe Konami came up with it. Maybe that was a very Japanese thing. I don't know.
Yeah. But I was like, oh, shit! Okay, you know, not bad. Let's be honest.
What do you think that Konami thought? Like, okay, hey, guys, we want you to do this show, or we want you to do this video game. Oh, okay, well, what's it about? Well, it's an American comic / cartoon that's all about a bunch of Japanese Ninja Turtles. What? You want us Japanese people to put the... Well, yeah. Yeah, you know, you're Japanese. You know, technology and ninja shit and so on. Make the game for us, fuckers.
Someone's here had to eat a turtle at some point, right?
Cool. Yeah. It's just one of those ones. Just you get that. It's just like... It'd be the vice versa. Just be like, okay, by the way, we want a very patriotic American movie. Okay, Japanese guys, we'll put that together in an anime.
Yeah.
Make Red Dog the anime.
Well, I guess I also guessed that, like,
when I say that out loud, I really want to hear Red Dawn the anime.
Have the opening just be like Patrick Swayze character standing on like a mountainside with like rose blossoms going by, closes his eyes, single tear, like sparks, and then like out of that, yeah, just all the one of those shots where every member of the cast is posing for a minute or some shit. Somebody that'd be speaking Japanese and like, Wolverine's gone, you know, just like in English, just for like one or two lines.
Avenge me!
Avenge you, Faza! No, but there's like, my go-to on anime themes is always the South Park, like, love fighting love.
Dude, somebody does a cover of that song where they do like a super metal one where like it's like makes it like a 3-minute long song, and it's literally just that song, but just imagine badass guitar solos in between every single like verse and chorus. It's so fucking awesome.
I want to check that out. But on the thing that you said about imagine like, you know, like having an American company like, hey, you guys, make some Japanese shit for us, Japan. You know, we've actually had the other side of that in the aspect, because when you think about it, like they had like what? They had Clint Eastwood make Letters to Iwo Jima. Like, I'm an American filmmaker, but I'm going to make a movie from the Japanese perspective.
And, yeah, well, it was a double feature. There's the American version, and then there's the Japanese version.
Well, there's Flags of Our Fathers, yeah.
Which
that was kind of different, because he released them both around the same time, Flags of Our Fathers and Letters to Iwo Jima. In all honesty, I like Letters to Iwo Jima more, I'll be honest.
Yeah, That's how I kind of feel too. Well, I mean, it's kind of like Oliver Stone, how he sort of has like his Vietnam triple feature threat, you know, where it's like you get Platoon, which is about the American side, Born on the 4th
wheelchair
of July.
Fight.
Which, yeah, Born really on the 4th of July, which is supposed to be like the Americans coming home side. And then you got Heaven or Hell, which is kind of like what it's kind of like from the Vietnam side. And you get fucking Tommy Lee Jones dead in a truck naked. I don't know why is he naked in that movie. That's what I always wondered. Like, you know, like, I mean, like, you know, I guess he's one of those ones like, you know, if I'm gonna kill myself in my truck, I don't want to have any pants or shirt on or nothing. I want to be dangling.
Look, if I want to get an Oscar, I gotta show my bits. Work for Harvey Keitel, right?
Yeah, exactly. I know, just like you, he's the man I've seen, you know, naked more times than anybody else.
Has Harvey Keitel been? I'm sorry.
I'm guessing. I don't think so, because Harvey Keitel, like,
if I show my dick enough, eventually they gotta give me an Oscar.
Doesn't matter how old I get.
Keitel, I'm just gonna see this. I just gotta know, and this is. I think we all need to know, isn't it? The listeners, I think we all need to know if Harvey Keitel ever won an Oscar.
Yeah. I want to know. I don't even know. Like, maybe nominated. Like, that might be. You know what I mean? Because Tarantino's kind of the guy who sort of brought him out to the spotlight more. He was just kind of always like that background character and a lot of like. His main character's in a lot of Martin Scorsese movies, but.
A lot of early Scorsese movies that I'm pretty sure he just kept pulling his dick out on stage. So I was like, Harvey! Like, what?
I mean, that's literally the very first Martin Scorsese movie ever made. Just has Harvey Keitel naked in it playing the fucking, like. This is the end for like 9 hours. I mean, not nine hours, 9 minutes.
Yeah, that was, you know, I don't think he's ever had an Oscar, so.
No, it's cause, probably because he took his pants off too many times in movies.
Yeah, he had to be more sparing with it. Yeah. Well, regardless, he's still a fucking fantastic, amazing actor. That's why they never made National Treasure 3. All of National Treasure 1 and 2 is filmed up from the waist up.
They're like, we gotta play it safe.
Harvey, it's a Disney movie. Fuck you! Tell the mouse I said that myself.
It's why Ed Sullivan, you know, shot Elvis Presley from the waist up. God forbid, just like Harvey Keitel. Remember a long time Harvey Keitel came on the Ed Sullivan show? What was the first thing he did? Live fucking TV. He starts whipping his dick out.
The Beatles? There's fucking four of them. Now we got to worry about that.
Yeah, there's four of them. We got to, you know what I mean? Like, not one of them whipped their dick out. Fucking Harvey Keitel, he's on the show for, you know, 2 seconds, fucking whips his dick out.
He's like, I was mid-sentence. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Harvey Keitel. Dude, what the fuck?
But yeah, Harvey Keitel, The Last Ronin. Would you see that movie?
Yeah, I would. I would.
You don't need to tell me anymore. Movie poster, Harvey Keitel, The Last Ronin. Like, you're fucking in for a treat. That's all I know.
Completely clothed, green face paint, black bandana, all the weapons, dick hanging out.
Harvey Keitel is Michelangelo.
Why not? Sure, let's do it. This would be his Unforgiven.
You know, just be like, hey, I know you guys kind of bitch about the CG fucking Ninja Turtle stuff, so we decided we're going to go back. But instead of doing puppets, you know, and animatronics, we're going to go full on. We're just going to paint somebody this time.
Yeah, we're going to paint everything. Why do you raise your eyebrows when you say everything? Everything.
Everything.
Who's in this movie? They're like, wait. Is it Harvey Keitel? Everyone just fucking knows.
They know already. But yeah, Last Ronin, I mean, it'd be interesting to see where this goes, what it kind of does next, and so on like that. I feel like Turtles comics are kind of those ones that, like, I other than, like, the original series, I've only read, like, very, almost kind of sparingly. Like, not saying that, like, they don't look interesting, but it's just that comic book thing. There's only so much time in the day to read so many things. But I really haven't read too much of, like, anything, like, past sort of. Actually, I almost don't think I've read anything just too much more than a Kevin Eastman or Peter Laird one. And even their books, it's like the second that they kind of jumped off of it, like, in 93 or whatever the heck it was, it's kind of like, well, okay.
Yeah, I'm just kind of like, I wouldn't mind jumping on it. There's just so little time and so much comics, and I just got to I might just get one of those big omnibuses. I definitely want to get the original run just for two things, for like historical value and also for like inspiration, because those kind of indie comic runs just really took off. They're always super inspiring. And then I just wouldn't mind checking out the new ones, because I remember the volume one being really good, but I lost it somewhere amongst the shuffle. So wouldn't mind seeing where it goes.
As I said, the original ones, you should just, that's like a book that anybody who's in the comic should have. You don't even have to get like maybe the whole, because I think, I want to say there's like seven of those, like the classic, they put all the, you know, the black and white issues back together, kind of like, they're sort of omnibuses. I think they're like 300 pages each. I have them digitally. I got them on sale in Comixology at one point where they're like $5 a piece. So like, that's how I got the whole collection of them. But it's one of those ones, like even just getting the first couple of them, or even just the first one, you get the first one, it's already pretty awesome. But like, there's just some stories in there that like, I don't know, it's just like the storytelling in it, just like the adventure aspect, just the way all the characters kind of look and sort of the changes from what, like what you're kind of used to and so on. I think there's just so much stuff in there that's really cool. Plus the artwork's amazing. And I think the other thing that's really cool is like, unlike pretty much every other comic book, like the one thing that makes kind of Kevin Eastman and Peter Laird just interesting is that they both draw and ink like on the same fucking issues. Like that's the thing that's kind of weird about it. Like, you know what I mean? Mostly it's always like, oh, one guy pencils it, one guy inks it. Like, no. Like, they literally switch back and forth between panels, like, which I think is just such a bizarre but kind of interesting concept. And I think it, like, yeah, you know, and as it goes on, what happens is that they split in half, is like Kevin does his own books, Peter does his own stories, and they kind of each have their own kind of crew. So it's really only like the first, I think, like two of those omnibuses are kind of like the original kind of stuff. Because the weird thing about Turtles is like one of those things, it's like Turtles was pretty much ultra famous in like 2 years. Like, it didn't take very long for that thing to take off. It literally took off, like, in the first 6 months.
It's one of those crazy success stories that just happens where it's funny because it started off as a total, like, punk rock, fuck you kind of thing. And then just, like, wait, money?
You want to make a what? A cartoon and all this kind of stuff? Like, because that's the weirdest thing is, like, the book, I want to say between, like, the very first issue and, like, the very first episode airing on TV is, like, 3 years. Like, that's all it is between the two. You know? Yeah. And once that cartoon hits, it fucking, as I said, that's the other one too. It's like, if you ever want the most nostalgic blast of Turtles, is a lot of times you can just buy it for like next to like nothing. Get just the very first season of Ninja Turtles, the original show. Cause I think it's only six episodes long and it plays out like a movie. Cause it's like, it's kind of weird. It's not like episodic at that point. It's literally like a continual story for six episodes. And it's a complete arc. You know, in a sense, kind of similar to the comic, but it kind of still does its own thing there. And it, like, every single one is just fantastic episodes. They each one's its own complete kind of adventure, but it still continues in that same arc. It's so dialed in those first six episodes.
Yeah, I need to rewatch that at some point. Because I am kind of in playing the video game and reading this comic has put me a bit of a Turtles mood. So maybe I'll have to go check that out at some point. But yeah. Yeah, Turtles, we're kind of reliving this. I mean, I'm sure other people probably like, Turtles are back. Turtles Renaissance been happening since the CG cartoon became big again. Like, what?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, and for some people, you know, Turtles never stop. It's like the way that, like, me and you kind of feel about Batman or Sonic the Hedgehog. Like, it's kind of always there. You know what I mean? And it's like, well, don't get me wrong, I've always liked Ninja Turtles, but, like, I don't have that same obsession like I do with, like, things like Arnold Schwarzenegger or Jurassic Park or 007, that, like, other people have that kind of obsession, but with Ninja Turtles and so on like that, where they're, like, always into it. Like, for me, I kind of go, it comes in waves, but I always do, don't get me wrong, I always love Ninja Turtles. I mean, like, got my Ninja Turtles fucking, like, you know, shake right here.
I got nothing Turtles on my shelf at the moment. So, like, well, I got nothing. Sure. But I almost bought a ridiculously expensive action figure of Rocksteady a little bit ago, but I was like, $40 looks cool, but $40 is a lot. But yeah, it does hit me in waves. It does hit me in waves, and I'm definitely feeling it now, and I look forward to the new movie, and I also like to check out some of the old comics to just see what that's all about.
Yeah, just have a turtle blast of all kinds of stuff. Who knows, there might even be like a good sale actually on Comixology right now. Because sometimes when there's like that like tie-in, next thing you know, they drop all the other stuff too. So it's like, hey, we know you're hopped up on Turtles right now. What more can we sell you? What more can we upsell you on?
Exactly.
But, yeah, beyond all that good fun stuff, make sure to go to oldmanorange.com where you'll find more podcasts, comic books like Pizza Boys, all the old animations and all that good stuff. Till then, I'm Spencer Scott Holmes.
And I'm Ryan Dunnigan.
and we will see you some other time.
Later, folks.